This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a glorious day and a good day to be together in worship. Whether you are here in the sanctuary in person or joining us over live stream, we're so glad to be connected in the Holy Spirit as we worship today. I would invite you to let us know that you're with us by registering your attendance. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary. If you would take those and sign in and pass them down and back up, that would be wonderful. If you are visiting with us and perhaps new to the community or looking for a new place to call your church home, we'd welcome you to share your email address or mailing address and let us reach out to you and begin the conversation about how we together can share God's love in our community. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link on the screen that you can click on, and that will take you to the registration there. A few announcements as we gather this morning. There will not be a college lunch today. Normally, our college students have lunch after the 11 o'clock service, but they're actually on a retreat together this weekend. So we pray for them that they are having a good experience of God and one another, and that will resume next week. This afternoon at 4:30, from 4:30 to 6:30, we have our church-wide picnic. Everybody's invited, and we will meet at Richland Park off of Charlotte so that we can spread out a little bit. And we invite you to bring your own dinner, and if you have some canvas chairs, soccer chairs you want to bring, we'll have games, and the weather's going to cooperate, so it'll be a really good time together. Next Sunday in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we will have our Blessing of the Animals service, and we invite you to bring your dogs, cats, snakes, lizards, all on leashes and cages, please, for a time of celebration and blessing for those creatures who bring us such joy and unconditional love in our lives. So that's next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Finally, today I want to take a moment to introduce some special guests we have with us. We have some dancers from Rejoice Ballet with us this morning. We are in partnership with Rejoice Ballet. They are our mission of the month. They were our communion offering at the beginning of this month. In the first weekend of March, they'll be up in the Fourth Story Theater doing a performance for the community. This is a group that works for youth empowerment through the art of dance and wants dance to be accessible to everybody. And so they celebrate the beauty and diversity of their dancers, and it's just a wonderful ministry. So I hope you'll read a little bit about them and plan to come at the beginning of March. But they're with us today to help us experience this parable of Jesus a little more deeply. With all of that, we come with our lives, with ourselves, just as we are, to worship our God this day. Let us do that now.
Thank you. into our darkness, offering comfort and solace. The light of God inspires justice and peace. The light of God calls us into love and service. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of the children of God. God, you feed us and sustain us, but we often crave more. You envelop us in abundance, but we see only what we lack. May we instead bear witness to the needs that surround us. Teach us to respond to the suffering of others, to see the people waiting at our gates, and to offer them what we have. In doing so, may we discover your economy, where generosity multiplies and returns, and what we give away pours into us again, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever ways feel most comfortable in the sanctuary and with those of you online in the chat or via text. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Would you join me as we pray our prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously each day. And by his gates there lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with whatever fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and entered and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to there cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and to the prophets, neither will they be convinced even when someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
would like to invite all the children to join me for a moment. If you're at home and want to move closer to your screens, you can do that. If you're here in the sanctuary, come on down. And if you want to take a couple of twirls along the way, please do. I know I feel like twirling after watching those beautiful dancers. Come on down and have a seat. Welcome. Oh, we have the whole choir up here too. Wow, what a bonus. Great to see you all. Well, a few minutes ago, Mr. David read a story from the Bible. It was a story that Jesus told about a rich man and a poor man to teach us some things about ourselves and about God. And I was thinking about there are lots of different ways to tell stories. Those of you who just sang in the choir told a story with your song and your music. The dancers who were just here were telling a story by dancing. The story was from Sleeping Beauty, and it's the scene where they're at the wedding at the end and they're celebrating the joy of the wedding. I don't know about you, but as I watched the dancers, I could really feel the joy, and it made me so happy to watch them. So one of the things their dance reminded me of was the joy that God wants us to experience. It was a dance about a wedding feast. And I think about all the times that Jesus told stories about feasts and people being around a table together and celebrating and having joy. And I think that's God's dream for us, that we would experience a feast with God, with all kinds of people. Everybody's invited to God's table, and we can share and celebrate and have a party with each other all the time. Church is supposed to feel like a party. Remember, I've said that before. Church is supposed to make us dance and sing and be joyful. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the stories of Jesus, for the stories we get to experience through music and dance, for reminding us that life with you is like a great feast and everybody's invited. Help us to feel joyful today, to invite others to share in the joy too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And those of you who are older than that can go back to where you were sitting before. Thank you so much for singing for us today. I was talking with someone in between the services about how much I'm enjoying this fall and really digging into some of these parables of Jesus, especially in the Gospel of Luke. There are so many rich, beautiful parables that Jesus offers us. And when I approach a parable, so we talked a little bit about this last week, one of the first ways that I seek to interpret the story is to ask the question, where do I see myself in this story? Or if I'm in a Bible study, I might ask, where do you see yourselves in this story? But that poses a bit of a problem with this parable that Jesus told that David just read for us. I don't know about you, but it's a little bit hard to see myself in either the rich man or the poor man. Jesus seems to have portrayed these two characters who are at the very extremes of wealth and poverty. On the one hand, we have the rich man, who Jesus says dressed in purple and fine linen. These were extraordinarily expensive garments in Jesus' day. Purple dye was really expensive. It hinted at royalty. So for someone to be wearing purple and fine linen every day was pretty ostentatious and indicated a lot of money. It also, Jesus also says he feasted sumptuously every day. And the word that he uses there is the same word you would use to describe how you would eat at a festival. So it's like he had Thanksgiving dinner every single day. So this is a man who is ostentatious. In A.J. Levine's interpretation of this parable, she actually used the word obscene in his consumption and his extravagance. I don't know many people like that. I can't think of anybody that I know for real who is like that. There may be some celebrities or some people out there who may live that way, but I don't know anybody who acts that way. On the other hand, we have this poor man named Lazarus, who is poor in every way, economically, poor in health, poor in community. He is longing for any crumb that might fall from the rich man's table, this deep, desperate hunger and starvation. He is covered with sores, some kind of illness that will not heal, and so his health is poor, and he's poor in community. No one seems to help Lazarus. Only the dogs see him. Only they notice and care for him. I don't know what that kind of experience is like either. So I don't know how much I can identify with Lazarus either. So if that's not the key that opens the door, the front door to this parable, maybe there's another way to enter the parable. So I got to thinking about, maybe we can go into this parable by looking at the names that are used in the parable. The rich man doesn't have a name. The poor man is named Lazarus. Jesus does this on purpose, I think. He gives this poor man a name. In fact, he is the only character in any of Jesus' parables who actually has a name. And his name, Lazarus, means God helps, God heals, God sees. So what is Jesus up to by giving one character a name and the other one not? One theory is that Jesus is, in yet another way, demonstrating this great reversal that happens in the kingdom of God, where the first become last and the last are first. We hear echoes of it in the song that Mary sings when Jesus is in her womb. God has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. We hear it again in the 6th chapter of Luke when Jesus preaches this sermon on the plain. It's similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel, but there are some significant differences. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, and woe to you who are rich. Blessed are those who hunger now, and woe to you who are full now." So above all the other gospels, Luke really emphasizes this aspect of Jesus' ministry, this great, surprising reversal. And I think what he's trying to show us is the kingdom of God includes all people, and that everyone has a place at the table. We are all equal in God's eyes, regardless of the status we might have in the world. And it's especially important in Jesus' ministry, I think, that he lift up those on the margins, those who are invisible, those who are disinherited and forgotten, to remind us of that. And so there's something about that at the heart of this parable. But there may be another reason that Jesus doesn't name the rich man. It came up in Bible study, and I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of it before. But someone suggested maybe the rich man doesn't have a name because Jesus does want us to identify with him, to ask the question, is that me? Am I like him in some way? Is there something I need to learn by putting myself there in the parable? I think Jesus wants us to see what not to do and what choices not to make by looking at what the rich man does throughout the parable. So there's an invitation there to pay attention to this rich man's behavior and choices. And I think one of the things that gives us the deepest clue to what goes wrong with this rich man comes with another name. As we get through the parable, both the rich man and the poor man die. Lazarus is taken up by the angels into the bosom of Abraham for eternal rest and comfort. The rich man dies and is buried. That's how the parable goes. And then he finds himself in the flames of Hades. Now, I want to take a moment to say, I don't think that in this parable, Jesus is giving us a literal picture of what life after death looks like. I do think he's using the understanding that people might have had at the time to make a point about the here and now. So that's the premise I'm going on. And so here we find this rich man in the flames of Hades, looking up at Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to come and help me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames." The rich man knew Lazarus's name. He already knew Lazarus's name. Nevertheless, every day when he stepped through his gate, he stepped over the body of Lazarus and ignored him and did nothing, even though he was feasting sumptuously every day and saw this man starving at his gate. He did nothing. He knew his name already. Not only that, even in the afterlife, when there's nothing at stake anymore, he cannot treat Lazarus as an equal. He does not address Lazarus. He still sees him as less than himself. He still treats him as nothing better than a servant. Send Lazarus to come down and help me. So what I see going on in this rich man is that it's not so much his wealth that is the problem. It is his blindness, his inability to see Lazarus as a fellow human being, equal in the eyes of God. And I have to ask myself, is that me? Do I do that too, maybe? Maybe in not so blatant a way, but in other ways? Then there's another name that comes up in the parable. A name that turns the corner, I think, of the story and offers a word of hope. When Abraham responds to the rich man, he says, "Child." He calls him child. And this is a term that was a term of endearment, something a parent would call a child. And I hear in Abraham's response a note of compassion and pity, because it's too late for the rich man to do anything differently. "My child, you had your opportunity and you missed it." Jesus has laid out in so many different ways that the kingdom of God, that life with God, the reign of God, when we experience it on earth as in heaven, is like a feast, a party. It's a table and everyone is invited. And we have the opportunity to be together, rich and poor, old and young, all different kinds of people, and be blessed by one another. The rich man had the opportunity every day of his life to be in relationship with Lazarus, to invite him to his table, to share with him, and he missed the opportunity. And in what I think is one of the deepest tragedies of this story, I think that the rich man, though he ate sumptuously, ate alone. And there at his gate was someone who could have been a friend to share the feast with. And he missed out. So as I think about who are we in the story, maybe we're not quite the rich man. Maybe we're not quite Lazarus. But maybe we are those five brothers of the rich man who still have a chance to do differently and to learn what life really is all about. You know, this parable hit home for me this week in a way that only God could have made it hit home. I got to the church on Tuesday morning about 7:15 a.m. We have Bible study at 7:30. I was heading into the church at the lower level, ready to study this parable in Bible study. And I looked to my right, and between the dumpster and the wall of the church, there was a woman asleep. And so I walked over and I peeked at her, and I recognized her face, but I didn't remember her name. And I noticed she was sleeping soundly. It was a beautiful day, and I thought to myself, good sleep can be hard to come by. So I went on up to Bible study and left her sleeping. But the good news of that is I knew that within a couple of hours, the doors of the church would be opened and we would welcome her into the quiet place. We have this ministry now, 5 days a week from 10:30 to 2:30. Members of this church are in the lower level, ready to welcome people off the streets, to give them a cup of coffee, a glass of water, a snack bag, a bus pass, to help them get some clothes out of the clothes closet. But even more importantly, to call them by name and to be a friend and be in relationship with them. Every day of the week, during the week, there are people who are called by name by this congregation. But I still didn't know her name. And I was convicted by that. And I felt this invitation from this parable, not condemnation, not shame or guilt, but a loving invitation to look for opportunities for relationship and to know others by name. I know her name now, and I know more of her story. And I know that in this place, she is welcome at the table, as are we all. Equal in God's eyes, invited to feast. We still have time. Let us join in the feast and invite others by name. Amen.
As those invited and called to the feast, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to affirm our faith using our affirmation of faith as found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. There are a couple of ways you can do that. One is by visiting our website and following the link under Contact Us, and you can leave prayer concerns there electronically. Also, if you're worshiping with us in the sanctuary, you can find one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you and fill out that card with a prayer concern and then place it in the offering plates as they make their way down the pews in a few moments. This morning, our prayers are with Rose and Ben Cantrell and their family, who are mourning the death of Rose's brother, Chris Park, who passed away on September 19th. Family services will be held at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of compassion and grace, today as we ponder the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we pray to be people who are full of your abounding love for all of humanity. Open our hearts and souls that we might be aware of all whom we encounter and that we might learn their names. Help us always pay attention to our fellow humans, responding when we see our siblings hurting, struggling, or in need. God of all-encompassing love, we pray that even when we fall short of the mark, even when we fail to live in love as we should, that you would see us that you would call us by name and that you would rescue us from our own failings. Help us remember that you are the God of all, the rich and the poor, the strong and the frail, the healthy and the sick, those who have everything together, and those whose lives are a mess. We pray that you would help us see that we are all connected, and when one of us hurts, we all hurt, and when one of us flourishes, we all flourish. Healing and saving one, today we most especially pray for our neighbors in Puerto Rico, whose lives were upended by yet another major storm in Hurricane Fiona. We pray that they receive the help and care they need to recover and rebuild, and know peace and comfort amid their suffering. We also pray for those in the path of soon-to-be Hurricane Ian. We pray that this storm would pass with as little damage and harm as possible. Lord, we pray for all who may be hurting in body, mind, or spirit this day, and we lift up our individual prayers and petitions in a moment of silent prayer. As people whose lives are inextricably bound together as your beloved children, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. If you're worshiping with us online, there are instructions for how to give on the screen or in the chat. And those in the sanctuary, we will be passing the offering plates through the pews. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
We have been to the table of grace, where we are known by name and loved just as we are. May we go from this time of feasting to seek out the lost, the least, call them by name, and invite them to the feast. Go in Christ's name and God's peace. Amen.